Hello and welcome to the CSFL Hub podcast. I'm your host as always, Kyle. Today we'll be going over our week five slate of games. We did have the return of MSFL action, so we do have quite a bit to cover. So let's go ahead and hop right into it. Our first game of the weekend was Army versus St. Thomas Aquinas. Army won this one 53-9. My player of the game in this one was junior quarterback Mikhail Wilkie. He finished the game with 325 passing yards, two passing touchdowns to just one interception, 29 yards on the ground with three rushing touchdowns, career high in rushing touchdowns for the junior quarterback. Army came out swinging in this one right away. I believe they took a deep shot the first or second play of the game. Junior quarterback Mikhail Wilkie, like I said, had 325 passing yards to the two touchdowns. He definitely showed you, you know, how live his arm is. Multiple plays in the game, he put the ball deep downfield, beautiful accuracy. Just showed you how strong his arm is. You know, he definitely has one of the strongest arms in all of sprint football and is one of the most accurate quarterbacks in all of sprint football. His three rushing touchdowns on the night were also a career high for Wilkie. One of them, he orchestrated the offense beautifully, rolled out left, you know, looking to pass the ball, didn't see anything, came all the way back to the right side of the field, managed to find the end zone. So definitely great night for the young quarterback. Five total touchdowns for the star quarterback for the Army offense. All of this was in spite of the absence of star wide receiver Donovan Mannion, but that did not slow down the Army offense whatsoever. Junior wide receiver Cody Laminick stepped up really, really big, had the biggest game of his career to this point, had eight receptions for 99 yards and two touchdowns. So, you know, despite missing one of the better offensive players in the CSFL, the Army offense did not miss a hitch at all. And, you know, continues to show how dynamic and electric this offense can be with Wilkie at the helm. Defensively, senior cornerback Sam Whipple basically locked down most of the St. Thomas Aquinas receivers all night. He did finish with two interceptions on the night, pass breakup with the one tackle. So Whipple continues to prove that he is one of the better defensive backs in the CSFL. Up front for Army, senior defensive lineman Sebastian Russell led the way. He has six tackles, 1.5 tackle for loss, and 1.5 sacks. Like a lot of other games, there was a lot of love to go around for the Army defensive line. So, you know, Russell did lead them in tackle for loss and sacks today, but multiple guys had at least one tackle for loss or at least one sack. Army heads back home next week for a CSFL North matchup against Massfield. St. Thomas Aquinas is continuing to struggle. Unfortunately, you know, they did lose their breakout quarterback early this year, Ryan Kenny. He was the quarterback who led them in the win over Penn to kick off their season. And in his absence, the offense has just not looked the same. Junior wide receiver Jaden Bennerman has been thrust into the quarterback role. I believe he did enter the program as a quarterback, but had since transitioned to wide receiver. Now he's being forced to play quarterback again. And, you know, he struggled. He definitely has not, you know, shown, you know, a lot of ability as a quarterback. He's definitely transitioned to a receiver more, and you can see that in his play. He only threw for 49 yards and did throw three interceptions. The bulk of those yards did go to sophomore wide receiver Hassan Blakeney, who, despite the quarterback woes, does show you a little something every game that he is, you know, one of the better wide receivers in the league. He finished with five receptions for 31 yards. So the offense for St. Thomas Aquinas, unfortunately, has started to sputter because they, you know, they are missing their traditional quarterback and have had to make do these last few games with a wide receiver playing quarterback. Junior defensive back Casey Sullivan led the Spartans on defense with 12 tackles. But the biggest spark of the night came from freshman cornerback Eric Campbell, who scored all of the St. Thomas Aquinas points himself. The young defensive back took back a 80-yard interception to the crib to put Stack on the board early in the game. And then St. Thomas Aquinas defense actually blocked a field goal attempt, or extra point attempt, excuse me, late in the game, and took Eric Campbell was the one who scooped it up and took it back for 2 points late in the game. So Campbell single-handedly put all the points on the board for the Spartans. So that's definitely something the young defensive back should be proud of, should put him in a position to possibly win Special Teams Player of the Week. So we'll see how that goes. St. Thomas Aquinas stays home again for a matchup against Caldwell. I also believe that will be their homecoming game. Our other Friday night game was Penn versus Cornell at Cornell. Penn took this one 17-0. My player of the game is senior quarterback Andrew Paolini. He finished the game with 210 yards, one touchdown, one interception, had 32 yards on the ground for another touchdown. Paolini continues to prove that he is one of the better quarterbacks in the CSFL. He's been one of the few bright spots for Penn offensively, you know, with all of these woes with the offensive line, but he continues to go out there slinging it week to week despite the sacks. I believe he was only sacked four times this week, which is a little compared to 7 and 14 of like the last 2 weeks. So I'm sure four felt a bit nicer than the past 2 weeks for Paolini. But again, he continues to prove, you know, what type of quarterback he is. He shows toughness week in, week out, shows poise in the pocket, can make every type of throw you ask him to make. You know, despite the scoring woes and offensive woes, he continues to go out there and, you know, be the quarterback that this team needs, be the catalyst of his offense. You know, two of the other bright spots for them have been their young wide receiver duo of Brandon Graves and Jake Wang. Brandon Graves finished this one with 4 receptions for 99 yards, and Wang followed up with 6 receptions for 73 yards and 1 touchdown. Excuse me. And these two continue to prove that, you know, whoever does take over for Paolini next year will have two viable targets at the wide receiver positions and two different styles of wide receiver. You know, Graves is a big, strong, you know, deep threat, big body, all of 6'2", all of 6'3". And Wang really seems to specialize in those shorter routes, those intermediate routes, those outs, those drags, those bounce routes, things like that. So, you know, these two should be, you know, dominant receivers, you know, as they continue to improve and mature. And again, whatever quarterback does come in for Paolini next year will have an easier time on his hands because they have Wang and Graves at the wide receiver spots. Defensively, senior defensive lineman Travis Legum continues to be a force this season. He finished the game with 6 tackles, 3.5 tackles for loss, and 3.5 sacks. Legum is one of the better interior defensive linemen in the league, one of the best nose guards in the league, and he showed that again in this one. Legum should be, you know, one of the guys that you circle and you game plan when you go to play this Penn defense. You know, right behind him was sophomore defensive lineman Cam Janik. He followed up with 6 tackles, 0.5 tackle for loss, 0.5 sack, and also had the late interception in the game to seal a win for Penn. So definitely some positive things up front for Penn with these defensive linemen. You know, they also have a really good young linebacker as well. So the Penn defense, you know, and they pitched a shutout. So definitely some positives there as they look to, you know, salvage this season and finish 500. And I know, you know, winning against their Ivy League rival is something that these two teams, you know, really, really care about. Penn stays on the road for the second week in a row as they go visit Navy next week. Cornell, you know, despite not scoring any points, had some more offensive success than they've had, you know, throughout earlier games this season. Junior running back Ralph Flournerville had a game high 89 yards. Also, it might be a career high for the junior running back. He's one of the only offensive bright spots in this game. Xavier Martinez did throw 400 yards in the game, which, you know, is just about the average for the Cornell offense. Sophomore athlete Evan Nicholas, who primarily was the team's best offensive threat as a quarterback, running back, or receiver, seems to have transitioned to the defensive side of the ball as a corner, corner safety, defensive back. He led the team with 9 tackles, 1 interception, and 2 passes broken up. So Nicholas has proven that he is one of the better athletes in the CSFL, regardless of position. You know, I think they've decided it might be more important for him to play defense. Still love to see him play some offense because he's their best receiver when he lines up a receiver, and he's their second best running back when he lines up a running back, and he could be a dynamic athlete at quarterback as well. So it'll be interesting to see all the different spots they put Nicholas at, you know, on offense or defense. So, you know, he's definitely proven how valuable he is to this Cornell team. Cornell stays home next week for a matchup against Chestnut Hill as both teams look for their first win of the season. Caldwell versus Chestnut Hill is our next game. Caldwell took this one 28-6. My player of the game is freshman athlete Donovan Swayze. He finished the game with 84 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 receptions for 33 yards, and 1 receiving touchdown. Caldwell and their, you know, methodical offensive game just proved to be too much for Chestnut Hill to handle in this one. I say it all the time. Just the way Caldwell's plays football is just good old-fashioned football, running the ball, play action pass, good defense. Got to let it watch it. Got to let it see it. Got to see this game in person, and it's just as impressive as person as it is on tape. Senior quarterback Frank DeMio continues to be the steady hand for the Caldwell offense. Senior threw for 168 yards, 2 touchdowns to just 1 interception. Again, freshman athlete Donovan Swayze, you know, showed how versatile and explosive he could be. You know, over 100 all-purpose yards and 3 touchdowns. So definitely a breakout game for the young freshman. So, you know, if you can manage to have him continue to develop and their other young freshman star, Devin Turner, you know, as a running back, it looks like Caldwell has 2 really explosive young players on their hands. They should be menaces for opposing defenses for years to come. The Caldwell defense had a bunch of guys make a difference on this one. Senior defensive lineman Ernesto Hernandez led the team with 7 tackles, also chipped in a half a tackle for loss. Junior defense end Masai Porter, who was always really, really high on to start the season, he finished with 4 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, 2.5 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. And then sophomore defensive back Kyle Redis helped slow down the Chestnut Hill passing attack. He finished with 3 pass breakups, which were crucial in stalling the Chestnut Hill offense. And really, really high on Redis. I think he is one of the better defensive backs in the CSFL, and it's only a sophomore. You know, the sky's the limit for him, and he should continue to improve year as the years go on. And it seems like he improves every single game. So Caldwell definitely has an elite corner on their hands in Kyle Redis. Caldwell hits the road again next week as they go visit St. Thomas Aquinas in New York. Chestnut Hill is still looking for their first win on the season. Didn't have enough to slow down Caldwell in this one. The low score of the day came when backup CJ Small actually came into the game and led Chestnut Hill on a long 15-play drive. It ended in a touchdown when he threw a touchdown to sophomore wide receiver Xavier Hendricks. So, you know, the starting quarterback, freshman Anthony Cancellara, you know, wasn't getting it done. Chestnut Hill coaches decided to make a change, and CJ Small, who also came in the game last week a little bit against Penn, did some positive things for the Chestnut Hill offense. The Chestnut Hill defensive front 7 continues to be their bright spot. Freshman linebacker Lex Williams led the team in tackles with 10, also added a tackle for loss. And freshman defensive lineman Jonathan Haverlick had another strong game after a strong game last week versus Penn. He had 9 tackles, 2 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. Chestnut Hill hits the road next week as they go to visit Cornell. And as I mentioned, both teams will be looking for their first win of the season. Last CSFL game of the weekend, we had Alderson Broaddus versus Mansfield. Mansfield won this one 35-0. My players of the game were sophomore quarterback Cassid Raymond and senior running back Terrence Quaker. Cassid Raymond threw for 132 passing yards, 1 touchdown, added 102 rushing yards and 2 touchdowns. And Terrence Quaker rushed for career high 134 rushing yards with 1 touchdown, also added 2 receptions for 32 yards. Mansfield rushing attack was just too much for Alderson Broaddus to handle in this one. Sophomore quarterback Cassid Raymond, one of his rushing touchdowns, came on an electrifying run where he just sliced through the Alderson Broaddus defense, toted the sideline and got in. So definitely continues to show how electrifying he can be and how impressive he is, you know, when it comes to, you know, the week-to-week performances, throwing the ball, rushing the ball. You know, Raymond is proven, despite only being a sophomore, he's one of the better players in the CSFL, one of the better quarterbacks across all of sprint football. So Mansfield definitely has a dynamic player at the quarterback position. for years to come. And Terrence Quaker had one of the better games of his career offensively, with the career high 134 rushing yards. Had a big 50-yard run to really start breaking the game open for Mansfield, where he ran by multiple Alderson Brodus defenders. So it's really good to see him, you know, doing the things I know he's always envisioned for himself, and the Mansfield coaches have envisioned for him, you know, bouncing back from some injury plagued season. So it's always good to see a guy bounce back from injury and continue to prove or reach the heights that they were at previously before the injury. So definitely good to see that they're always rooting for him. On the defensive side of the ball for Mansfield, usual guys always making an impact, continue to be consistent game to game, week to week for Mansfield. Senior linebacker Matt Robert led the team with tackles with 7, usually the team leader for tackles for Mansfield. And senior defensive lineman Chase Moser had a dominant day, finished with 6 tackles, 4.5 tackles for loss, and 1 sack. Moser should be, if not already, 1 or 2 tackles for loss away from Mansfield's all-time tackle career tackles for loss, and he should be pretty close up there in sacks as well. So it'll be interesting to see where he finishes at in terms of career statistics for Mansfield. I actually checked that out after I finished this podcast and finished writing the articles for the weekend, because he has to be getting close to rewriting the record books. Just a week after Cassid Raymond rewrote the record books for Mansfield in terms of rushing. So look out for Chase Moser to finish his senior season in dominant fashion. Freshman defensive lineman Ian Mapp also contributed in this game. He added 5 tackles, 3 tackles for loss, and 2 sacks. Mansfield hits the road next week to take on Army in the CSFL North matchup. Alderson Brodus struggled in this one, unable to score any points. Senior quarterback Timothy Tillman went 9 of 24 for only 71 yards with no touchdowns. The team also had a negative yardage total in terms of rushing. They had negative 8 rushing yards of the team. Didn't really help their chances in this one. One of the lone bright spots for them has been sophomore wide receiver Blake Baxter. He did finish with 4 receptions for 45 yards. Seems like he averages about 4 receptions, 40, 50 yards a game, every single game. So he is one of the more reliable players for this Alderson Brodus offense. You hope they can find, you know, some creative ways to get him the ball, so he can continue to make a positive impact for the team. On the defensive side of the ball, freshman linebacker Dylan Knight led the team in tackles, adding 9. Also had 1.5 tackles for loss. Sophomore defensive lineman Zachary Allison, who's one of the better defensive players for Alderson Brodus up front, he had 8 tackles for 1/2 tackle for loss. And freshman defensive lineman Keontae Green had 6 tackles for 3 tackles for loss. Alderson Brodus heads into the bye week before they welcome Navy to West Virginia. Okay, so that is the end of our CSFL action. Now we're going to go out west to the MSFL. Some good games out there this week as they return from a bye. First one we got was Camelot College of St. Joseph, CCSJ versus Quincy. CCSJ took this one 46-7. My player of the game is freshman linebacker Isaac Hegwood. He finished the game with 18 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 pass broken up. CCSJ dominated this one in all fronts, all phases of the game. Freshman quarterback Blaze Cano threw for 148 yards, also threw for a career high 3 touchdowns for the freshman quarterback, so big day for him. Freshman running back Jonathan Flemings continues to be the workhorse for them when it comes to toting the pill. He had a team-high 66 yards in the game. Freshman wide receiver Lauren Ruth had the best game of his career, finishing with 74 yards and 2 touchdowns on 3 receptions. Like I said, defensively, Isaac Hegwood dominated with his 18 tackles. His 18 tackles are actually good for the 4th most tackles in a game in Sprint football history. So it seems like every single week someone in the MSFL is making history in terms of a game high or a team high. So definitely should be proud of that, you know, and only his, which would be 4th game to have 18 tackles is very, very impressive. Freshman linebacker Trevor Boosie had 10 tackles for 3 tackles for loss, 1 interception and 3 passes broken up. So big day for the linebacking core At CCSJ, you know, definitely showing that they have some of the better linebackers in the MSFL. Freshman defensive back Quadarius Davis and freshman linebacker Jaquan Bridges both had interceptions that went for touchdowns to help further the CCSJ lead. So lots of strong defensive play from CCSJ and their young defensive players. Definitely something to be proud of there. CCSJ hits the road next week for a rematch against undefeated St. Mary of the Woods College. That'll definitely be a must-watch next weekend. Quincy struggled in this one. This was the first ever matchup between the two teams in their inaugural seasons. The Quincy quarterbacks, you know, didn't really have much to offer in this game. Two quarterbacks combined for 5 interceptions. Didn't do much to help the Hawks' cause. Senior wide receiver Taylor Klusmeyer continues to be a bright spot for Quincy. He's played quarterback, got a lot of rushes at quarterback and some rushes at receiver. Now he's primarily a wide receiver. He led the team with 4 receptions for 36 yards, also added 17 rushing yards. And defensively for Quincy, their usual suspects stepped up to try and mitigate the damage. Sophomore linebacker Ray Lingard had a game-high 19 tackles, which is good for the third most tackles in a game in spring football history. So more records being broken every single week in the MSFL. Freshman Cordell Walker and Jaree Jones both did their part to also mitigate some of that damage. The pair combined for 25 tackles, 5.5 tackles for loss, and 3 stacks. 3 stacks were all from Jaree Jones. So Quincy continuing to show they have some strong defensive players, lots of strong defensive players across the MSFL, and they have some of my favorite guys to watch whenever I tune into a game. So, you know, despite the score, there were some impressive performances from Quincy. Quincy hits the road next week to go visit Fontbonne. As the two teams have a rematch of the first week of the season. Second game of the Saturday afternoon was St. Mary of the Woods College versus Bellarmine, matchup of 2 undefeated teams at the time. SMWC took this one 33-10. My player of the game was freshman quarterback Brennan Landry. He threw for 236 yards, 2 touchdowns, to just 1 interception. Also added 25 yards on the ground. SMWC continues their impressive run in their inaugural season. They are now 4-0 undefeated, the only remaining undefeated team in the MSFL. Landry has another impressive game, 230-plus yards passing with 2 touchdowns. I think it's safe to say that Brendan Landry has proven that he is the best quarterback in the MSFL during this inaugural season, and he should only get better and should only continue to improve as he gets older, gets a better control and understanding of this offense and these opposing defenses. So he's definitely one of my favorite players to watch in spring football. Has a live arm, very, very accurate. He's continued to be, you know, one of the players, better players in the MSFL for years to come. Another guy who I like to watch, who is one of the catalysts of this SMWC offense, is freshman running back Patrick Paya. He had another 100-yard offensive game. He had 103 rushing yards with 2 rushing touchdowns. So earlier this season, I think he had a 100-yard receiving game. So he's showing how versatile he can be, one of the more versatile backs in the MSFL, one of the more versatile backs in all of spring football. So definitely a guy you want to keep your eye on as he should continue to improve and, you know, being one of the guys who drives the bus for this St. Mary of the Woods College offense. Freshman wide receiver Andres Miller led the team in receiving yards and receptions. He had 5 receptions on the day for 86 yards. On the defensive side of the ball, freshman defensive lineman Trey Jackson, who's been a name to know pretty much all season, led the way. He had 10 tackles for the team, and freshman defensive back Xavier Grant really disrupted the Quincy passing attack. He snagged 2 interceptions in the game. So definitely a lot of strong play from SMWC as they held down the Bellarmine offense. SMWC heads back home for a rematch against CCSJ, and that one went into overtime, I believe. So that will definitely be a game to watch as CCSJ looks to avenge their early season loss. Bellarmine takes their first loss on the season, but this was a good one to turn into. Hopefully you had a chance to watch it. Freshman quarterback Dylan Goff threw for 148 yards, one touchdown, but to two interceptions. So turnover ratio wasn't in Bellarmine's favor when it came to their quarterback play in this one. Offensive catalyst for Bellarmine continues to be freshman running back Brendan Reed, who is by far and away one of the better players in the MSFL and one of the better players in sprint football, period. Bellarmine, a little bit more than some of the other teams, has had to rely on their better players playing both ways. And right now, you know, Reed's looking like a first-team all-league running back and a defensive back, you know, the way he plays week in, week out. He led the team in rushing yards with 97, also had three receptions for 19 yards and a touchdown, so 100 all-purpose yards on offense. And he also led the team on defense in tackles with 9 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 pass broken up. So Reed, week in, week out, is a guy you can rely on either side of the ball to bring it. So definitely one of my favorite players to watch, and is one of the better players in both leagues, and is only a freshman. So he has, the sky's the limit for this kid, whether he does start to transition more to defense, more to offense, or if he plays both all 4 years, he's going to be a menace. Definitely a player to watch anytime you turn on a Bellarmine game. It's going to be hard to miss the way he totes the pill and the way he hits guys on defense. So definitely a name to know for the rest of the season. Freshman defensive back Tavius Francis followed up with 8 tackles and 1 interception. And Francis is a name to know on this team as well. You know, 2 interceptions on the year, a couple passes broken up. I believe he has 5 or 6. But he's one of the more impactful defensive backs, young defensive backs in this league. And it seems like he's always making plays week to week. Bellarmine looks to bounce back as they go visit Midway in Kentucky next week. We have our last game of the weekend was Midway versus Fontbonne. Fontbonne took this one 27-19. My player of the game was freshman athlete Chris Reckel. He had 352 passing yards, 2 touchdowns to 1 interception, added 13 rushing yards for 2 rushing touchdowns. Fontbonne picks up their first win of the season, this inaugural season. Congratulations to them. Freshman Chris Reckel, who spent the better part of this year as a receiver, took over the reins at quarterback in this one and did not disappoint. Threw for 350-plus yards, had 4 total touchdowns on the day. So it appears Fontbonne may have found their answer at quarterback, and the athlete Reckel has shown that he could be one of the more dynamic guys in this league. Played games at receiver, had some rushing yards in there before this game as well, and now has a 350-yard passing game at quarterback. So he might be the guy there at quarterback if he can, you know, bottle up this performance and turn it into some consistency as they look to finish out the season strong. Freshman running back Darian White has been consistently the team's leading rusher, had 55 yards in this one. So he's been steady, you know, hasn't had a huge, huge game like some of the other running backs like Flemings, like Reed, like Paya. But he's been guaranteed about 30, 40, 50, 60 rushing yards a game, you know, week to week. So definitely a consistent rusher when it comes to toting the pill. Freshman wide receiver Rashad Singleton had probably the best game of his career. He had 8 receptions for 134 with 1 touchdown. And then right behind him, duo of Andre Webb and Jalen Pilati. He had 14. The combination of those two had 14 receptions, 179 yards, and 1 touchdown. So lots of good things from this young Fontbonne offense, from Chris Reckley, a quarterback, to the 3 freshmen at receiver. Looks like Fontbonne finally got some things going on offense when their defense has been, you know, great all season. They haven't given up 30 points all year. So, they're definitely under like 28 points as a defense. So it's good to finally see the offense start to click a little bit and give that defense a break and compliment that defense in this, you know, well-balanced first-team win. That being said, on defense, again, they have had some usual suspects produce all year. Avion Bass and Isaiah Sanders, definitely 2 names to know in the MSFL, combined for 26 tackles, a tackle for loss, a half a sack, an interception. Avion Bass got that interception, which might be his 2nd interception of the season, I believe, as a defensive lineman. That's very, very impressive. Freshman defensive back Xavier Reddick had 2 interceptions on the night to help keep that Midway offense from getting too close. So Fontbonne definitely had a well-balanced team win in this one for their first win of their inaugural season. Fontbonne hits the road next week for a rematch against Quincy. On the other side of the ball, we got Midway. Midway did, you know, fight back in this one. Did have some impressive offensive plays, but wasn't enough to get it done. They're still looking for their first win of the season. Freshman quarterback DJ Palmer threw for 137 with a touchdown. Also added two rushing touchdowns, but he did throw four interceptions. So 1-4 turnover, TD turnover ratio. So it's definitely not going to win you a lot of football games when you turn the ball over that much, especially from your quarterback position. Their freshman wide receiver, Penther Alphonse, has been one of the more consistent guys all year. Similar to White, you know, hasn't had a huge, you know, 150, 163 touchdown receiving game, but he's pretty much guaranteed 60, 70 receiving yards a game. He had three receptions for 71 in this one. You know, he's one of the better receivers in this league, despite some of the lack of team success. He shows week in, week out, he's a guy you got to circle as a defensive coordinator, as a defensive back when you're going to play Midway. You know, freshman linebacker Tristan Berrios did what he could defensively, led the team with 8 tackles, 1.5 tackles for loss, a forced fumble, and a fumble recovery. And freshman linebacker Jonah Kyle, who is a name I've mentioned before, he had 5 tackles, 1 tackle for loss, and 1 sack. Midway hits the road next week for a rematch against Bellarmine. So that concludes our Week 5 slate of games. Lots of good games. Good to see the MSFL come back after a bye week. Some teams got their first win. Some teams stayed undefeated. Some teams got their first loss, but lots of good action out west. And in CSFL, lots of good action as well. So definitely going to be an exciting, exciting final stretch in both leagues as we get ready for the playoffs. And as some teams, you know, try and figure out these last few kinks as they look to salvage their season. So definitely going to be some must-watch games as we head into these final 2 to 3 weeks. So thank you for joining me. As always, I'm your host, Kyle. Catch you guys next week. Peace.